there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. Great to be back with you here once again on Blog Talk Radio. Today in the United States, of course, it is Independence Day. I decided to do a show. Typically, most programs take off on this day, but I thought, you know, I can do the show from home. I'm going to do a show. I want to wish everybody in the U.S. a happy Independence Day. The reason I say in the U.S. because we have listeners outside of the country. Today, we here in America, we celebrate our freedom. This is something we can easily take for granted, isn't it? So many times, we start to complain about different things. I don't like what I have to eat. I don't like my job. It's too hot out for me. I don't like my car. I don't like my house. Whatever it is, we forget that we are able in this country to worship God without fear of persecution. Yeah, we're starting to see some restrictions placed on our religious liberty, but you know what? We know that we can worship God. We can go to mass, we can go to our church, and we know that the government's not going to kill us for doing so. Let's be honest, in many countries around the world, that is not the case. So that is certainly something to be thankful for on this day, for the freedom that we have been given. And it's a great blessing for us. On the program today, we're going to look at the mass readings for Tuesday of the 13th week in Ordinary Time. And also, I'm going to play a pre-recorded interview that I did on my morning show with Tony Agnese. Tony Agnese is a Catholic storyteller. He's a podcaster. He's a blogger. He's a speaker. He's one of the guys that not a lot of people know about, but yet Tony does such a good job. You can follow him online at Tony Agnese, AGNESI.com. We're going to do a pre-recorded interview that we did some time ago on Spirit in the Morning. In addition, we'll have our usual segments from the Christophers, from Tony Rossi and the Christophers, and Carlo Broussard as well. I want to remind you of a couple things. September the 4th, we kick off Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary. I'm still not certain of what book I'll use. If you've never done this before, this is the 33-day preparation for Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary. This is made popular by St. Louis de Montfort. And really what it involves is turning your life over to the Blessed Mother, saying, Blessed Mother, you have permission to bring me closer to Jesus, however you need to do it, and ultimately make me into a saint, meaning get me to heaven. I mean, it's such a great deal for those of us who realize that we're weak, and no matter how good our intentions are, no matter how much I want to walk the walk and get closer to Jesus, things are going to get in the way. My own weaknesses, they do me in more often than not. The church offers this assistance. Now, of course, it's not mandatory, but if the church offers this assistance, this great devotion, which was so important to St. John Paul II and many, many other great figures, including St. Mother Teresa, if the church gives us this devotion, why not take advantage of it? It's something that I believe in. I first made my total consecration on October the 7th, 2011. I've done it. I've renewed it every year publicly on this program, so we're going to do it again this year. 33-day preparation kicks off on September the 4th. I also want to point out that I am booking parish missions for Lent next year, or actually Advent of this year. I have openings in Advent of this year as well. If you want to bring me out to your parish, I would love to do that. I'd love to come out and speak. Gary@followingthetruth.com is the way to get in touch with me, or you can go right to the website followingthetruth.com to be able to find out more about my work, see some examples of my speaking, as well as contacting me through that. Final thing I want to say before we launch into prayer is there are a lot of different features I use on the program. One of them is the Christophers. Tony Rossi has become a good friend of mine. I believe in their work. Now, the reason I use the Christophers is because their philosophy is better to light a single candle than to curse the darkness. As we grow closer to the Lord, as we journey on our conversion, as we try to grow closer to Him, sometimes what happens is we get so caught up in learning what the church teaches, which is a good thing, that we forget to put it into practice. And I see a lot of this. I see a lot of this on social media. Good, well-intentioned Catholics or Christians attack people. Negativity. Attack church leaders, attack those in the church whom they don't agree with. You know, it's one thing after another. The Christopher's philosophy is a really good one. It's what can I do? Instead of criticizing everybody else, what can I do to make the world a better place, to bring Christ into the world? The word Christopher means Christ bearer. That's what this is all about, bringing Christ into the world. So I like his message in conjunction with everything else that I do here. That's the reason that I play the Christophers on the program, because I feel it's a nice little supplement to what we do here and what I believe, what I'm trying to do through my apostolate. Okay, so that's why somebody asked me one time why I use the Christophers. That's the reason. And Carlo Broussard, he's just a brilliant Catholic apologist. He made his segments available to me through Catholic Answers, and I thought I need to include those too. So we have a nice balance on this program, and that's what I'm really going for. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the Mass readings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us the blessing of a new day. Thank you for the freedoms that you give to us in the United States. Please help us to draw closer to you and to draw other people close to you through our actions, through our words, through our deeds. Father, help us to always be willing to share our faith with those around us. Help us to always do the right thing, even when it is not convenient. And Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to speak through me today, to speak through me so that your message can go forth on this program. Please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to what you have to say. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Again, my name is Gary Zimek. Thanks for tuning in to the program. Just a reminder, you can not only get the program on Blog Talk Radio, you can also get it on TuneIn Radio and on iTunes. So if you'd like to hear the show, you've got a number of ways to do it, and I just am so thankful to have you as a listener. Let's take a look now at today's daily Mass readings for this day, Tuesday of the 13th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading comes from the book of Genesis. We're continuing the story of Abraham and his journey. This Genesis 19, beginning in verse 15. As dawn was breaking, the angels urged Lot on, saying, "On your way, take with you your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of Sodom." When Lot hesitated, the men, by the Lord's mercy, seized his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them to safety outside the city. As soon as they had been brought outside, he was told, "Flee for your life. Don't look back or stop anywhere on the plain. Get off to the hills at once, or you will be swept away." "Oh, no, my lord," Lot replied, "you have already thought enough of your servant to do me the great kindness of intervening to save my life. But I cannot flee to the hills to keep the disaster from overtaking me, and so I shall die. Look, this town ahead is near enough to escape to. It's only a small place. Let me flee there. It's a small place, is it not? That my life may be saved." "Well then," he replied, "I will also grant you the favor you now ask. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. Hurry, escape there. I cannot do anything until you arrive there. That is why the town is called Zoar." The sun was just rising over the earth as Lot arrived in Zoar. At the same time, the Lord rained down sulfurous fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and the whole plain, together with the inhabitants of the cities and the produce of the soil. But Lot's wife looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham went to the place where he had stood in the Lord's presence. As he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and the whole region of the plain, he saw dense smoke over the land rising like fumes from a furnace. Thus it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he was mindful of Abraham by sending Lot away from the upheaval by which God overthrew the cities which Lot had been living. All right, so we see this story of, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, very famous cities known for their immoral behavior. Remember, when Abraham allowed Lot to choose the land that he wished to dwell in, of course, Lot was Abraham's nephew, Lot looked around and he saw the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw that the land looked very fertile. It looked like a good place to go. Abraham, trusting in the Lord's providence, said, "All right, Lot, you pick first. I'll settle on whatever portion you don't choose. Lot goes for what is appealing to the eyes, what looks good. You know, he's looking. It's really a contrast about believing in the material things and the promises of the world and believing in the divine promises. That's what this is really about. Lot chooses according to the wisdom of the world, and he ends up in a place that is about to be destroyed because of the severe immorality. But the Lord allows him to be spared, and you see, he escapes along with his wife. But what happens is she turns back. And you know, there's a moral to this story here. Once we decide, once we make that decision to follow the Lord, Jesus said this himself, don't turn back. If you look back, you're not worthy of me. Sometimes we tend to want to do this, don't we? We think back to our old days or our old times of having a good time, living in sin or whatever, wherever we were, living in lukewarmness. It was much easier then. I want to go back. The Lord is cautioning us, don't do that. So even though it seems appealing, and we all get into those moments where we start to feel, this isn't worth it. This following Jesus stuff, it's too hard. I'm tired. I just want to go back to the way things were. You ever been there? Happens to me too. And we get these temptations. This is a reminder for us. Once you make that decision to follow Jesus, don't turn back. And pray for the grace to keep going forward. It's also a reminder that there will be repercussions for our actions. If you're going to live a sinful life, if you're going to turn away from the Lord, ultimately you're going to be judged one day. Like it or not, that's what will happen. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were sinning. They were worshiping idols. They were doing things they shouldn't do. What happens? One day, they're destroyed. It's a wake-up call. And we might not like it. We might not like the fact that we're going to be judged, but it's going to happen one day. So if we're smart, what we'll do is continue to ask for the grace that we need to live a good and holy life. And hey, this is why the Blessed Mother can help us. She will help us get closer to Jesus and do these things that we sometimes don't feel like doing. There are times, unfortunately, there are a lot of times in my life that I would rather just stick to myself and not do nice things for people. There are certain people in my life, certain people that I encounter, who I just don't like for whatever reason. We're all going to have these people. And the Lord never tells us that we have to like them. He tells us that we have to love them. Which means sometimes you're going to have to be nice to these people. You know? I mean, all the time you're going to have to be nice to them, but the Lord's not implying when he tells you you have to love your enemy that if somebody's trying to kill you, you have to take them out to dinner. That's not what this is all about. But what it's about is you pray for that person, you be civil to that person if you talk to them, you try to help them in any way you can, but you don't necessarily have to have good feelings toward them. Don't get hung up in the feelings thing. So this is important. Once you make that decision to follow Jesus, there can be no turning back. Because it's too easy for us to backslide. It really is. The Psalm 26. O Lord, your mercy is before my eyes. Search me, O Lord, and try me. Test my soul and my heart. For your mercy is before my eyes, and I walk in your truth. Gather not my soul with those of sinners, nor with men of blood, my life. On their hands are crimes, and their right hands are full of bribes. But I walk in integrity. Redeem me and have mercy on me. My foot stands on level ground. In the assemblies, I will bless the Lord. None of us have any right to be able to live in heaven. None of us have a right to live in heaven. We have all sinned. We have all forfeited that right. No matter what we say, no matter how self-righteous we become, none of us have a right to it. But the Lord loves us too much to let us not live with him, to not give us the opportunity for us to live with him in heaven. He gives us all that opportunity. That is why Jesus came to earth, so that he could redeem us and open those gates of heaven. He wants us there. But it's not like we have a right to do it. That we have a right to be able to live there. We don't. All we deserve is hell, to be totally honest. That's what we deserve because of our sinfulness throughout our lives. And if we think otherwise, we're really deceiving ourselves. And I'm not saying this to try to make you feel bad about yourself. I'm trying to keep it real. That's what humility is. Humility is having a realistic picture of the way we are, of our sinfulness. Now, the Lord is willing to give us the help that we need. He's willing to take us by the hand, much in the same way that Lot was escorted by the hand, saved from those cities that were about to be destroyed. His wife looked back. Don't look back. I'm telling you, no matter how it feels, continue to walk on the path that leads to Jesus, ultimately, which leads to heaven. It's so much better. It really is so much better. The Gospels from Matthew, beginning in chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, as Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a violent storm came up on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by waves, but he was asleep. They came and they woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you terrified, O you of little faith?" Then he got up, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. The men were amazed and said, "What sort of man is this, whom even the winds and the sea obey?" So many times we get caught up in the problems of our lives, and we forget that the Lord is our refuge, and we can have peace even in the midst of the storm. The problems, they're not a big deal, even though they feel like it at the time. The disciples in the boat, they were with Jesus, but they somehow lost sight of that fact. The waves distracted them. So today, as you face whatever it is you face, and I'm sure you're facing something, remember that the Lord is with you. He's in your presence, and you can turn to him. Why don't you do that now? Why don't you go find these readings, read them over again, reflect on them a little bit, or open your Bible, go to just a start reading the Gospels if you want. And when you do that, you're going to start to feel peace. Maybe you could find a church, an adoration chapel, pray before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Maybe you could take a walk and talk to the Lord there. However you want to do it, take some time today. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Take some time today to connect with the Lord somehow. I'm so glad that you're listening to the show, but this show is meant to help you to grow closer to Jesus. It's just a start. You know, even I tell people on my morning radio show, too, sometimes I want you to turn the radio off. Use this show to inspire you, and then go talk to Jesus about what we discuss. You know, use this as a starting point. If you're afraid today, tell the Lord, "Hey, Lord, I'm like the disciples in the boat. I'm feeling the same thing. I'm going to turn to you, Lord. I'm going to cry out and ask you to save me." And he'll do it. He'll grant you that peace. You've got to do it on a consistent basis, though. All right, I've talked enough. I'm going to take a break right now. We'll do something from the Christophers. After that, Tony Agnese will share something, some of his stories with us. And then after that, I'll be back to close out the show. Again, you are listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Police officer Brian Strachbein of the Evesham, New Jersey Police Department saved the lives of three people in the space of only 10 days in 2016. The first rescue came on March 8th, when an apparently dead woman was found on a lawn in town. Officer Strachbein administered CPR, and it was successful. Then came March 12th, when the officer was first on the scene of an auto wreck. He freed the driver by breaking a window and dragging him out of the car. And on March 17th, he saved another woman by once more using CPR. Sophia Rosenbaum reported on the incidents in the New York Post, but Strachbein himself brushed it all off. The 37-year-old simply said, "All I was doing was my job." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
With us on the phone is our friend Tony Agnese. He's a storyteller, an author, a blogger, a podcaster, a radio host. You can find him online at TonyAgnese.com. He's got some thoughts on this, and he's going to share his thoughts with us. Tony, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Gary. It's great to hear your voice. Yeah, I was listening to you guys earlier, and in your discussion, you mentioned that, you know, that it's our role as the laity to evangelize, too. Too often Catholics are passive. You know, we think that the priests and deacons are going to do all this, and it really we're all called to be fishers of men. Yeah. And you know, being a bass fisherman, this is my favorite time of the year because the bass are spawning, things are happening, and I've often fished by myself, and you begin to think of why would Jesus not pick a bunch of PhDs?
Exactly.
Why would he pick fishermen? It makes me feel good because I'm not that smart, but I do fish. So I started thinking, about the comparisons of fishing, fishermen and fishing for men. And you know what? The same skills are required to fish for fish as they are required to fish for men. So as we think about evangelizing, we have to apply some of the same techniques. So I was thinking through some of the techniques of fishing. For example, you know, oftentimes when you're fishing, it's how you wiggle the bait. Sometimes you have to fish slowly and let the bait bounce off the bottom of the water. Other times you have a quick retrieval. And there are different times and different methods for trying to catch the fish. Sometimes you have to twitch the line three times and then crank and so forth. Well, the same holds true when we are evangelizing. Sometimes we have to make our presentation slowly. Sometimes we have to be extremely patient with someone. You know, we're answering their questions, but we have to do it to satisfy their need to get the material. So sometimes it's slowly. Sometimes people just bring it all right in. It's amazing. You know, the other thing you know when you're a fisherman is if the fish aren't biting, change your bait or change your presentation of the bait.
Yes.
You know, we got to switch from hard baits to plastics or whatever. And the same is true for evangelization. Sometimes we have to switch our discussion. You know, we have to talk about the Bible. If that don't work, talk about the sacraments. If that doesn't work, you know, we switch it up until we can find the right method. And then there's this thing in fishing that the bigger the bait, the bigger the fish. You know, you ever see a young fisherman, he puts a worm on about the size of two fish and expects to catch one even bigger. Well, sometimes that's not true. Sometimes the biggest bass are caught on the smallest bait. And think about this, Gary, when you're doing sometimes a men's conference, and one of the attendees might come up to you and say, Gary, there was just one line, you know, you did a great hour talk, Gary, but there was just one line that spoke to me, one line that changed my way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And that is what we have to understand. Oftentimes, it isn't the big bait. It's just that dropping that one line and then letting the Holy Spirit take it from there. And then, the other thing that always we learn as fishermen is there are just some days they ain't biting.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to learn to close your tackle box and head home. And sometimes if we're trying to evangelize, sometimes the person we're talking to just isn't in the mood.
Right.
They're just not ready to receive the message. And you know what? We can do more harm than good if we continue to press on. Sometimes it's best to just stop and pick it up at a different time, a different situation. So whether you're fishing for fish or fishing for men, the rules are the same. And so you say, well, Jesus was pretty smart picking fishermen to be his apostle because they were fishing for men and they used the same techniques as when they were fishing for fish. The other part of this I like too, a couple of biblical things. One is, you know, when he went and Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 4, when he brings in Simon Peter and he brings in Andrew, these guys dropped their nets. These guys were making a living as fishermen, and they made a pretty good living.
Yeah.
Right, but they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. And then there's a line after Jesus' death, but before his resurrection, and the apostles are sitting around, and they don't know what to do, and they're still not aware that Jesus has risen. And Peter says, and they say, what are you going to do? And he says, I'm going fishing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, he went back to what he knew.
Right.
And when following the resurrection, then, you know, this past week we've been reading, he brought 3,000 people in one particular day. This is what happens when we begin to fish for men. So we've got to be open to that, though. You know, I was listening to your conversation earlier. You know, churches are hurting in terms of attendance. I mean, I go to Mass out in the West Coast a lot, and a parish at 10 a.m. on Saturday might be 1/4 full.
Wow.
And that's not the clergy's fault. That's not the priest's problem. That's all of our problem.
Right. Right.
And we all have a responsibility to make our faith attractive to people, and it's how we conduct our own lives. You know, preach the gospel at all times, and occasionally use some words. By the way we act, by the way we treat people, the way we treat our family, the way we interact at work, these are the things that begin that fishing trip where we can bring someone back to the faith, or we can bring someone to the faith.
Man, you really nailed it today, brother. I always love having you on the show because you have such practical advice. Tony, we have about a minute left, but what I like about what you just said, now, of course, when we evangelize, and we are all called to evangelize, you know, that's, again, as Catholics, sometimes we get a little touchy about that, and we don't like to do it, but we're called to do it. Jesus depends on us to evangelize. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit at work. But the Holy Spirit also expects us to use all of our resources. God gave us a brain. He gave us talents. He gave us the ability to, as you mentioned, sometimes maybe pull back, maybe change our approach. And I like your practical advice about that because certainly we do depend on the Holy Spirit, but we want to use all of our resources to the best of our ability so that we can evangelize to the best of our capability. Tony, again, thank you for joining us. Where's the best place we can follow you online?
Anyway, at Tony Agnese on all the social media sites, and TonyAgnese.com will get you to my website. Can I leave you with a real short little fisherman's prayer?
Please do.
I pray that I may live to fish until my dying day, and when it comes to my last cast, I then most humbly pray, when in the Lord's great landing net and peacefully asleep, that in His mercy I may be judged, big enough to keep.
A skeptic once engaged me in conversation saying, "Yeah, I'm skeptical about everything." To which I replied, "Are you skeptical about that?" And I actually got a chuckle out of his girlfriend standing nearby. You see, the claim, "I doubt everything," refutes itself. If a skeptic doubts everything, well then he must doubt the claim, "I doubt everything." Which, of course, is the same as saying, "I doubt that I doubt everything." This is absurd. If a skeptic doubts his own assertion, "I doubt everything," well, then why even put it forward? Suppose my skeptic friend retorted, "No, I'm certain I doubt everything." Well, this wouldn't help him either because there would be one thing he doesn't doubt, namely the claim, "I doubt everything." No matter how a radical skeptic approaches his skepticism, whether he doubts it or affirms it, he ends in a self-contradiction. I'm Carlo Broussard with a ready reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
And thanks again for listening to the program today. I really want to let you know how much I appreciate the fact that you're listening, and I want to thank you in advance for your financial support, for your prayers, and if you've already contributed to my work, thank you very much for that as well. For more information about the work that I do, if you want to find out more about my books, you can go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and I hope you continue to listen to this program, and I hope you let your friends know about the show. Remember that I am dependent on your donations. This program is always going to be free of charge, but if you could help me out, if you can help me to be able to finance it so that I can continue to do it and offer it free of charge every Monday through Friday, I would be very grateful. I'm looking for some new monthly sponsors, so if you're able to do that, I would really appreciate it. How do you do that? You go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you will be all set. You do it securely through PayPal. It means so much to me. And I really, really thank you for that. If you want to make a one-time donation, you could do that at the same place. And also, if you're a coffee lover, check out Mystic Monk Coffee, available also available at followingthetruth.com. Every time you purchase it from my website, it helps me as well. So again, thanks for listening. God bless you. Remember today that wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is right by your side. Make sure you don't forget about Him, but that you turn around and say hi. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.